God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio, playing one of America's fastest growing game sensations.
Let me see where I've got that.
Was this a good idea? That's right. We're going to, this is really exploding in popularity. Not quite like Libby Glossin's podcast, but it is exploding in popularity. It's called, what did I say? Was this a good idea?
That's it.
Or not? Jimmy, as always, you will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Are you prepared for your most earnest responsibility?
I'm not prepared, but I'll do it.
Illinois Church. Branded as hateful, they put up a billboard, New Hope Community Church in Palatine, Illinois. I'm sorry. Am I tipping my hand? Can you hear the smirk in my voice? People are saying they're hateful because they posted this sign. Heaven has strict immigration laws. Hell has open borders. And wow, did they take a pounding for it. Jimmy, I'll share the deets and then you can tell me if you think this was a good idea for the church to post it or not. The critics came out of the woodwork. It's hateful and politically charged in support of the Trump administration's crackdown on illegal immigration. But the church said, no, quote, we want to be clear. We didn't mention nor intend this sign to be about U.S. immigration policy. This was posted on Facebook. We understand immigration is a hot topic today and wanted to use that to turn people's attention heavenward. We did not mention any country or any people group. We do not believe that all go to heaven and wanted the community to examine their relationship with Almighty God. People are getting triggered by the word immigration. We took a stand on immigration to heaven, not to the United States. So that was their motivation. They wanted to get people thinking about God and the afterlife. They used a very hot button subject and wow, did it get some attention from the community, and it's all very therapeutic in nature. The president of the elementary school district told the Daily Herald she found the church's message to be harsh. Harsh. Quote, it is unfortunate that a couple of phrases that some adults feel to be clever are posted in the face of many innocent school children having to ask parents, friends, and adults what they mean and why. Hold on. I got to get some blood to my head because it's draining right now. And I'm ready to, this is from an elementary school that wants to indoctrinate children with gender confusion, which of course causes the kids to ask the parents, can you explain this, mom? And do they care about that sort of questioning for parents? No, but when it comes to eternal things, look out. Oh, somebody used a great line. Was it Adam Tyson? He's one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute. He was just in town, spent 3 days with us. Wow, was he a trooper. We worked him like a Grand Canyon mule. That guy was put to work and he just did such great stuff. We'll turn that resource out whenever it gets done in post-production. But I think he was the one, and if I'm wrong, nevertheless, I'll give him credit for it. Talking to an unbeliever, which is the true religion? I can answer that question for you. It's the one you hate. That is a great zinger. Why aren't people mad at Islam? Why aren't they upset with Buddhism? Why aren't they upset with Hinduism? And the answer is because they're all allies. They're all darkness too. So there's no reason to go to war against a friend. It is Jesus Christ and Christianity that is always the target. Why is it that Jesus' name gets used so commonly and so profanely by people. Never an, oh, Confucius. And that would actually, you know, that's got a little release power to it. With a, it just kind of makes you feel a little less angry by saying, why not? Well, because there's no point. There's he's dead. He's got no power. Why does the world always go after Christianity? And by the way, are they going after Christianity? I think it was in the Congo. Did you, Jimmy, I suspect you reported on this. 70 Christians had their heads sawn off with knives by Muslims. 70 beheaded. By the way, mainstream media, they're planning on doing all kinds of specials next week. They're just getting all the footage pulled together to make it a national... Nothing from them. Why? Well, the media doesn't want to talk about Christian persecution. Why? Because they hate Christianity. They hate it. They hate the Christ of Christianity. And so they constantly war and fight against it. And I think that is true with this sign. It just torqued people. Because you're saying only some people, particularly those who are born again Christians, go to heaven and everybody else is wrong. And so it triggered an entire community. This is the school district. Pulling kids into the edginess and politics of the moment is absolutely inappropriate. And what is it that you're teaching children about sex ed? Speaking of sex ed, I don't know if I can find this. There was a school that said that they wanted to talk to the kids about the dead end of pornography in sixth grade. I think I've got that story pretty straight, even though I can't find it on my desk at the moment. And I think a lot of people go, well, good, it's about time. And I that's not the school's job. It's just not your job. They shouldn't be even using the word pornography. It's not their place. It's not their responsibility. They do not have the authority. Well, we've ceded it, but they don't have it. That's parents' business. And so while it's like, okay, good, we're telling the sixth graders, because that's the age now where kids seem to be getting introduced to that garbage, they're telling them, hey, beware, it's really bad for you. And while it's like, yeah, I affirm that, I don't think it's their job to be teaching. I don't want them talking about the issue at all. At all. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Thank you very much. We'll take care of the rest. Back to Illinois, the church and the school district at odds. One of the parents said this. By the way, this is the therapeutic language. The woman from the elementary school said that this billboard causes real fear for our school-age children. Is it really? This is what one resident said. Part of why we moved to Palatine was the diversity and being able to show our kids everyone should have the opportunity to love each other. And seeing something like this is really upsetting. So in other words, we came here for tolerance sake. Except for that church. She has since followed up that statement with a message on the church's Facebook page declaring, I'm proud to have spoken out about the hate your church is spreading. Our community is one of love and acceptance, and signs like yours have no room here. So much for love and acceptance. Jimmy? The church, with good intentions, used immigration to provoke. It seems to have worked in some way, shape, or form. People are talking about it, but a lot of people are upset. What is this called? Was this a good idea or not? Hold on a second. I'll get you. Was this a good idea or not?
I'm going to say no. you know me. You know I'm all about standing firm and not watering down the gospel. I firmly believe that. But I mean, at the same time, we want the message to draw people in, not push them away. And
maybe just because this issue is such a hot button subject,
yeah.
Wisdom might have said, think of a different way to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't render a verdict on a local church. It sounds like these, I don't know about the church, but what their theology is, et cetera. It sounds like their attitude was correct about it. And I don't think that it's my place to parachute into a church and denounce them for something like this. But I think we think, if nothing else, I think that we need to be aware of this. I think this would be the takeaway. Politics, any aspect of it right now, It is so tender for so many people. I mean, the way people are talking, they're like, there's going to be firing squads. They're going to be invading churches with blowtorches to get rid of the illegal aliens. They're just apoplectic about these subjects. And I think we need to be mindful of that, that when we talk about politics, especially when there's any sort of connection to Christianity, I think maybe a takeaway from this would be you need to know it will put off some people. It just will. Now, what you do with that, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, I think still we are in a climate. This culture war ain't over. It's not like Donald Trump got put into the White House and all of a sudden people who want to mutilate children chemically or surgically are just, okay, we were wrong. We'll stop doing that. We'll never think of transgenderism. We'll never bring up the subject again. Abortion, all right, fine. Have your way. It's not going to happen. It's going to continue because these issues are deep and profound and they're moral and they are all centered on God himself. And so let's be mindful of that. Let's be wise as serpents. Let's be gentle as doves. Because more than anything else, our goal isn't to provoke negatively and cause people to presumably be scared and afraid. We should be willing to provoke them so that their consciences are tweaked so that they understand their need for a savior. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the friend of sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of immigration, this is Wretched Radio. Yep, a touchy subject, but I do believe, despite the fact that it is indeed a sensitive subject, we Christians should be the ones who speak loudly and biblically about the subject, because we are seeing a lot of liberal Christians with a different take on what it means to be a sojourner. Is God for open borders? The answer is no. Read Genesis chapter 9. Borders are needed for nations to exist, to keep us from being a one world order. Hence different languages. God endorses borders, and God has something to say about how they should be guarded. The sojourners movement, people like Jim Wallis and liberals, the Episcopalians would say, hey, God was very clear with the Jewish people. You were a sojourner once too, so let the sojourners in. And I say, yeah, it does say that, but it's not all it says. It says, let them in and they can stay if. They can stay if they assimilate, if they adopt the Jewish religion. Then they are indeed welcome to stay here. If not, you can put them out. And so there, we see that there are two different types of sojourners in the Old Testament. Those that assimilate, those that don't. Those that do, they receive privileges and rights. Those that don't are not welcome because they are there illegally, if you will. Right now, there's a lot of people squawking about immigration policies, especially those churches that want to use their building for a safe harbor for people who are here illegally. And if we don't at least recognize this is a little bit tricky, because we need to remember that the church does have a jurisdictional authority. After, I don't know where you're at with church-state stuff. But just for the sake of this conversation, I believe that the government, their responsibility is peace. You keep evil people from doing bad things, and you are given the sword as a minister of God to accomplish that end. But that is the limit of their authority. You've got the familial authority, the home, mom and dad, very pervasive authority with their children. It's a small number of people, but wow, it runs deep. But the parent, a dad, can't go to Washington and say, because I'm a father, this is the legislation that I demand. You just don't have that authority. But now the church, what is the church's authority? It's a spiritual authority. And that means if the government, physical sword, comes into the spiritual realm, they have no business there. And the church is run by God. We need to remember that in light of this conversation about liberal perspectives on immigration. And that if we believe inside of the church, I'm sorry, God has commanded us to do this, then no matter what the government says, we've got to do what God says. So that we've got that on the one hand. So now you've got liberals on the other hand saying, yeah, that's what we're doing. We believe that housing immigrants inside of the church is actually a spiritual issue. It is a God-mandated issue. Now, I think they're wrong. And I think that they need to be very willing to pay the consequence for that. But I do believe those of us who would not be considered progressive regarding this subject or anything else, frankly, we need to be careful, because we don't want to be giving the impression that it is okay for the government to indeed break down the doors of a church and control it in any way, shape, or form. Now, can they control the physical elements? Yes, because it's about safety. But even that only goes so far. If the government, for instance, came in and said, hey, we've done the National Institute of Health and the CDC are in agreement that the wafer that you people are taking, it can ultimately cause cancer in lab rats, 1.5 times the rate of lab rats that didn't eat those wafers. Therefore, your communion wafers need to be brownies. We would say, sorry, that's just not your call to make. God has set a pattern and a model for us. We're going to follow him. And if it turns out a lab rat gets a tumor and that indicates that we might do it, well, that's going to be our decision. This is a spiritual issue. So we want to defend that. But now what do we do when we see religious people, Christians, air quote Christians, utilize that same thinking? I think this is, it's very simple. We just say you're wrong. You're just plain wrong. And we need to teach them and help them to understand what the Bible teaches about this subject. So in an effort to do that, this is from the Christian Post. Sojourners are helping churches respond to Trump order on ICE raids. I do think this is an individual from Sojourners. I do think this is an opportunity for churches to exercise their religious liberty to serve those who are in vulnerable circumstances. Okay. I think that we should serve those who are in vulnerable circumstances if we can. But that's not the same as giving safe harbor to somebody who's broken the law. You want to feed people? If an immigrant shows up who's here illegally at your church door and you want to give them a loaf of bread, I would have no argument with that. But to bring them in and protect them from the government, the minister of God, a la Romans 13, and then say you can't come in here because this is a church, I would simply say you're flat out wrong. The lawsuit that has been filed against Trump claims an immigration enforcement action during worship services, ministry work, or other congregational activities would be devastating to their religious practice. And that's the issue right there. Because I don't want to overlook, the government has to be very, very careful what they say to the church. And we do not want to give that ground away by going, oh, these people are liberals, so let ICE go into the church. Hold on a second. That gets really scary. So we want to be really balanced in this. The church is a place where the government does not belong in enforcing spiritual issues. Now, here's what's happening with these progressives. They're saying, well, it is a spiritual issue because we believe that housing illegal immigrants is a religious thing. So what should we say to that? You're wrong. And the government has every right to do then to you what they determine best for participating in criminal activity. You need to be willing to pay the consequence. That goes for all of it. Now, if the government, for instance, came into your church, you're a Bible-teaching church, they told you to stop teaching the Bible and you refused because God says, preach the Bible, then you need to be willing to go to jail for it because that's the role of the government. And that's what I would say to these people. You're wrong. It would shatter the consecrated space of sanctuary, thwart communal worship, and undermine the social service outreach that is central to religious expression and spiritual practice. So this can get really messy, and we can start talking about constitutional rights. Does a church have a right to resist the government in housing of illegals? Well, I don't think so. And I think that really, by the way, is another important key to thinking this through. To the Sojourner people, I would say, well, let's just replace one law-breaking citizen or law-breaking human with another law-breaking human. Let's say that there were 1,000 people in this country who'd embezzled from American corporations millions and millions of dollars. Would you say that these people need to be given safe harbor in your church? They've embezzled. They've hurt people. They've broken laws. And we could use a more egregious crime, physical harm, molestation. Or this is our religious practice to give these people safe. The issue is law-breaking here. Now, should the church be willing to speak up on behalf of those who are trying to come here or who are here, who escaped a horrible circumstance? Should we be willing to talk about that? Of course we should. And then I think to not do that, oh, it's pretty chilly, to be honest. But that doesn't say that everybody gets to stay, but at least we should have a heart and a desire to see people who are in rotten circumstances, if possible, experience a better quality of life. We should be okay with that, but there are some considerations and circumstances. And when it comes to a nation, the citizens who are currently here legally, born or otherwise, they get priority. We need to handle this conversation about immigration very, very carefully. So Somebody said there's no constitutional right for churches to be sanctuaries for criminal activity. But see, that's the emphasis, right? For criminal activity. Let's make sure that as we go about the issue of talking about immigration, we keep our categories straight. We're talking about illegal activity. We're not talking about a spiritual discipline or a spiritual practice or a regulative principle of worship. We're talking about illegal criminal activity, and the government has the right to bear the sword and to stop that. And before we go, with or without wham, how's about the borders are? Tom Homan, who's a Roman Catholic, after Pope Francis criticized the government for the deportation policy, quote from the border czar, the Pope has a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall to protect his people and himself, but we can't have a wall around the United States. I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us. Pretty hard to argue with that. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.